What did Paul mean when he said, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth"? Is he talking about consistent Bible study? Is he talking about the importance of having a consistent quiet time or a consistent time in the Bible? Is he talking about deep dives into the Bible, where we're getting out the commentaries and the pens and the pencils, and we're marking things up? Is he talking more about devotional reading of the Bible? And in what way does my reading of the Bible or my study of the Bible make me even more approved in God's sight than I already am because of the cross? Is the word translated "study" in early versions of the Bible misleading, or is it helpful? And what exactly is the word of truth? These are some of the topics today on The Unsunday Show.
You're listening to The Unsunday Show.
Leaving behind religious obligation for a better expression of Christ. This is The Unsunday Show.
Hey friends, Mike Adams here with The Unsunday Show. First of all, I want to remind you that the Grace Cafe podcast is in full swing. The Grace Cafe podcast is a podcast that my wife and I co-host. We started it back in March of 2015, and we ended up shutting it down about a year and a half ago. But we've recently relaunched it. In fact, the very first episode talks about why we decided to shut it down and why we decided to relaunch it. And we're six episodes in, and our current topic is women in the church. How does God view women in the church? Are women to remain silent? Are women more easily deceived than men? And can women be elders or pastors? These are some of the topics that we're handling early on in these first few episodes of the Grace Cafe podcast. Episodes there drop every other Wednesday at the moment, so if you're interested, head on over there. The website is gracecafepodcast.com, or you can get it on virtually any podcast app. So if you get a chance and you're so inclined, go check out the Grace Cafe podcast. The passage in question here is 2 Timothy chapter 2, and particularly verse 15. In the old King James Version, which really is what I cut my spiritual teeth on because there weren't a lot of other options at the time, but it read, "Study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, I was taught early on that that meant that I was to buckle down and make sure that I had consistent Bible study, and that if I failed to have consistent Bible study, there was something implied that I wasn't approved by God. Nobody actually came out and said that, but it was implied. It wasn't overtly taught, but it was covertly caught. That if I'm not spending enough time in the Bible, and of course enough time in the Bible, it was determined by someone else or the group that I was associated with who thought that this amount of time should be spent in the Bible per day or per week or per month. And if you weren't meeting those goals, then you were demonstrating that you weren't really approved by God. And of course, the word "study" had the implication of diving deep, you know, getting out the commentaries, getting out the pens and pencils, the markers, and start doing cross-references and make sure that we look up every verse in the entire Bible that has anything to do with the verse that we're reading, and just kind of a deep dive into whatever passage was in front of us. Again, that's what was implied, and that's what I thought it meant for years and years, mainly because everybody around me believed that, and no one was questioning it, and there was no other option presented for it. But then different versions of the Bible began to be published, which I think did a better translation of the first part of that verse, where they translated the word that King James had translated as "study" into things like "be diligent," or "be careful," or "be purposeful," or as the ESV says, "do your best." And so the meaning began to take on a different shade. It wasn't a Bible study, but it was something that I should be alert to what I was doing and how I was doing it, whatever that something was. And the real clincher in this verse, for those who want to interpret it as studying the Bible, was the last half of verse 15, where Paul told Timothy to rightly divide the word of truth, to make sure that you're getting it right. And it was assumed that the word of truth was a reference to the Bible. But that's not the context. If we go all the way back to verse 2 of 2 Timothy 2, Paul says there, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So Paul isn't talking about the Bible. Number one, there weren't any Bibles. They didn't exist. No one was carrying around a copy of the Bible under their arm or sitting at the park reading the Bible simply because there weren't any Bibles. But there was a gospel. There was a message about Jesus. There was the gospel message of righteousness by faith alone. And that's what Paul is referring to when he says the word of truth. This is even further substantiated in verse 8, where Paul says, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains, as a criminal." But the word of God is not bound. Again, he's not talking about the Bible, because there wasn't any such thing. He's talking about the gospel. He's talking about the message of Jesus. He even said it right there, that he's preached this gospel and that the word of God, the gospel, is not bound, even though Paul was bound. That is, the gospel isn't in prison, even though Paul was in prison. And that context hasn't changed by the time we reach verse 15, where Paul tells Timothy to rightly handle the word of truth. So what does 2 Timothy 2:15 boil down to? Well, it boils down to this. The gospel has been approved by God. The true gospel has God's stamp of approval on it. And if the gospel that we preach, if the gospel that we bring to people in our conversations is the same gospel, that's evidence that we have God's approval simply because we're bringing the message that has his approval. Perhaps this is a bad analogy, but it's an analogy nonetheless. It's a little bit like political television commercials here in the U.S. In those commercials, there'll be something said about a particular political candidate, and then at the end of that advertisement, the candidate's voice comes on and says, "I'm so-and-so, and I approve this message." Well, guess what? God approves one version of the gospel. And if we're preaching a different gospel, we're not preaching the right gospel, and it is without God's approval. In other words, it's not a gospel that he authored. And that's exactly what Timothy was up against. Remember, Timothy lived in Ephesus. And as an apostolic helper with Paul, he had been tasked with bringing the word of truth to the people who lived there and to correct false teachings about Jesus and the gospel. Among those false teachings were the teachings of the Judaizers, who said, "Well, Jesus is fine. We're really glad that you've got some Jesus in your gospel, but you also need to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses." That is an unapproved version of the gospel. The gospel is by faith alone, by grace alone, in the finished work of Jesus alone, and righteousness or justification is by faith apart from works, works of any kind. We are made righteous by faith. We are made righteous by believing. And when we believed, then Jesus' one sacrifice has made us perfect forever, according to the writer of Hebrews. So as Christians, I've already been made perfect. I don't have to show myself as approved unto God in terms of my standing with him. That never varies. That never changes. It is finished. But in Paul's day, and even today, if we're preaching a gospel that God hasn't approved, we're showing ourselves to be unapproved by God in terms of the message that we're bringing. Paul is telling Timothy to fight for the purity of the gospel, to make sure that he is always teaching and preaching the gospel that has God's stamp of approval on it, not some cheap substitute, not something close to the gospel, but the gospel itself. And so he is telling Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. In other words, with the correct message, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth, which is the gospel. So all those years that I heard, well, you need to be in the Word, and we think that the Word is the Bible, but the Bible never calls itself the Word of God. We do that. The Bible doesn't. But we use this verse as a guilt verse to guilt others into doing what we think they should do in terms of reading the Bible more, of being more consistent in the Bible, of reading through the Bible every year, of having consistent quiet time, of having consistent study time. And when we don't, we find a way to guilt each other, to make one another ashamed for not spending enough time in the Bible, when this verse has nothing to do with the Bible. Nobody in Paul's day or Timothy's day was spending any time in the Bible because there weren't any. So this is another verse where we're guilty overall of taking what we know, the system of church and religion that we know, and reading it back into Scripture and making Scripture, kind of modernizing it and making Scripture say what fits our culture today or our religious culture today. But that's forced onto the text. That's not legitimate. That's illegitimate. That's irresponsible. Let the text speak for itself. And Paul was simply encouraging Timothy to fight for the purity of the gospel by doing the best that he could do to stay on message, to stay on point, and to accurately handle or rightly divide the word of truth, the gospel. So that's all I have for you today. I want to thank you for joining me on the Yun Sunday Show. Be sure to go check out the Grace Cafe podcast if and when you're so inclined. So I'll let you go for now. And until next time, you all take care.
Thank you for joining us on the Yun Sunday Show. To be a part of this ongoing conversation, visit us online at unsunday.com.